church. How are we doing today?
Good.
Oh, this is going to be a rough day. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Come on now. We're in church. It's okay. You can talk. It's all right. It's good. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you chose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship, to be the place where you come and do life and grow together, have wins together, celebrate those wins, help each other through the struggles. That's what we're all about here at LifePoint Church. So we're thankful that you're here today, and I'm excited for what God's doing here at LifePoint Church and doing in all of your lives. And it's just really an honor. It's incredible to be a part of this church. So I thank you all for being here. Today, we are going to kick off a new message series called So That. And what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks is we're going to focus on Paul's prayer for the early church and the so that statements that he uses within those prayers. And we see that a lot through some of his writings and his letters that he wrote in the New Testament. And ultimately what we're going to be talking about is prayer, the power of prayer, how important prayer is in our lives and in the church. And in the lives of others. We'll talk about how important it is, and we're going to learn how to pray with power and passion. I mean, that's something that I know that I want for myself, and I'm sure that many of you all hope to have that as well, that you could be a person of prayer and that you would pray with passion, right? Pray with power. Learn to pray in such a way that your relationship with God grows and you connect, right? And you're in sync together. I mean, that's what we all want. So I guess to kick things off, I'm just going to ask, how many of you all would say that you 100% believe in the power of prayer, yet sometimes you don't pray as often as you should, right? How many of y'all would say that? Right. Look at you all, terrible people. I'm just kidding, my hand's up too. Right, it's crazy, it's frustrating, right? I mean, we know that prayer is critical. We know that we have a good God that hears our call, right? We are so blessed to be able to come to God and speak to him, to even speak his name is an honor. It's incredible. And we have that direct path to come before the throne, yet so often we don't do it. Right? We don't do it as we should, or we use it just as that, you know, that spare tire, that rescue thing. As soon as we need it, then we go to God. But that's the only time we do it, right? It can be frustrating, but I think there's many reasons why we get in that position, why we know that God hears our prayer and that he responds and that he answers and that he hears us and that he wants to hear from us, yet we don't pray as we should. I think one of the reasons is that honestly, some people just, they don't know how to pray, right? They get in their head, they get worried about it, and they're just like, I just really don't know how to pray. I don't have confidence in it. I don't know if I'm doing this thing right. Am I supposed to say this? Am I supposed to say that? You know, I don't know if I'm doing it right. So as a result, they just kind of avoid prayer altogether. It's just, I'll do it if I absolutely have to, but I don't know if I'm doing it right, and that freaks me out, so I'm just going to avoid it. Right, we see that. Others, maybe it's for you that you actually kind of get bored and distracted while you're praying. And that sounds super unspiritual, but I will be honest and say that that's one of my biggest struggles with prayer. That I will get distracted, or not necessarily that I get bored, that I just get distracted. My ADD brain just starts bouncing all over the place, and I go from one thought to the next, and I'm just kind of all over the place. Or I can't count the number of times that I've fallen asleep while praying, right? And that's not because I pray for like hours and hours, and I just exhaust myself. No, I start praying, then I'm snoozing, I'm gone, you know? So, but it does. We get distracted, right? So therefore, it hinders our prayer life. Sometimes it's that we're intimidated, right? We see the prayer life of other people, and we're like, there's such a prayer warrior. They're so powerful when they pray, and I could never measure up to that. So we feel less than, and we kind of just avoid it. Or maybe the only encounter that you've had with prayer was maybe at a very traditional environment, and, you know, it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they prayed for like 30 minutes, like three people, and they used like Old Testament, Old English language the whole time. You really didn't even know what the heck was going on. You didn't know what they were saying. You were confused. And then so whenever you think about prayer, you're just like, I don't know how to do that. And you're kind of intimidated by that. Or there's people around you that are just gifted at prayer. Like when they pray, man, it is smooth as silk. I mean, they know what to say. They know how to say it. They start quoting scripture. I mean, they're just on a roll. And you're just like, man, I can never do that. That's just not my thing. And so you kind of just, you get overwhelmed. You get intimidated. And you just kind of, push it off to the side. And there's many other reasons why we at times find ourselves not praying the way we should. But whatever the reason is, while many of us understand that we have that good God, we just, far too often, we just don't pray. We don't pray like we should. And so what I want to do for the next 4 weeks is I really want to allow God to teach and lead us into how to pray. How to pray with power and with passion. And so this morning, to kind of kick things off, I want to start by revealing what I consider to be two major prayer mistakes that many of us fall victim to. I know that I do. There's two prayer mistakes that we fall into the kind of this cycle and this routine of falling into. The first one is that our prayers are often too small. And the second one is that our prayers are often too general. And I know, I will sit up here and say that I am guilty of this. At times, my prayers are way too small. And they're way too general. And we've got to correct that, right? We've got to really get down and dirty when it comes to prayer. And that doesn't mean it gets intense. That doesn't mean it's all like technical and it's crazy. It just means that we have to get honest. And we have to move past this small general prayer life. We got to get to praying for bigger things and praying in detail, more specifics. I mean, sometimes I think that God must honestly probably gets, I know he probably gets frustrated with me, but just gets frustrated in general with how we pray, like how we communicate with him sometimes. Like, you know, I hear people, and I've said it before, I'm guilty of it, where I'll say, God, just, you know, thank you for this day, and I just pray that you would bless us. Just bless us today. And he's like, man, have you seen the house that you live in? That you got a roof over your head? That you do this and clean water comes out, right? You have indoor plumbing, hello. You got food, at least a meal a day, enough to sustain you. You're already blessed. But we're general, and we're saying these small prayers, just bless us, right? Or we're like, God, just be with us today. Be with me today. And he's like, yo, I already told you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've got your back. I'm there with you. Why are you praying things that I've already told you is the case? Or, you know, give us traveling mercies. And he's like, you know, I got your back. That's cool. But give me something hard here. Give me something difficult. Give me something that I can show off my goodness and my power, that I can show off my glory when I answer it, that people, when they look on, will say, that could only have been God. Like, where's that prayer? That's the kind of prayer life that he wants us to have. And that's where we need to get. That's where it's at. We've got to have bigger prayers and more specific prayers. That's what he's longing for. You see, God could do so much more in your life if we would have the courage and the faith to just ask. And man, I know this is I'm sitting in this right now. I mean, this is my life right now. I'm wrestling with this, and I need to say bigger prayers. I need to trust and have bigger faith that God's got things in control, that he's got this, and that I can trust him. I know these things. We have the head knowledge of this. We can, you know, if you've been at church for any length of time, you know what to say, right? You know how to rattle off all the right answers. But it's got to get down to the heart. It's got to get practical. We've got to believe it. That's what matters. So I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to start saying big prayers. Be specific in your prayer life, because general prayers do not move God to specific actions. I mean, it's the truth. General prayers don't move him to a specific action. That's why James said we do not have because we don't ask. Very simple. Very straightforward. But we like to complicate things. We like to get in all our heads and we make things 10 times more difficult and complicated than they really are. You don't have because you don't ask. So what I want to do is I want us to be able to ask God very specific requests and have the faith to believe that he can do the impossible, right? What we think and view as impossible, he can do. And then all of a sudden when the things come about, like I said, then we have no other answer than this was just God. This was God at work. And then when people look on, they say, man, I don't know what happened. And you can say, hey, that was God. That's how good my God is. That's how big he is. He's able to do these things. God's showing off. And you know, one of the things that I think kind of gets tripped up here is that, you know, sometimes we ask and we pray big, but sometimes God doesn't answer that the way we want him to. But in those moments, you still see God. You see him showing off. It's just in a different way. I've had a tough couple of weeks. I had one of my best friends in high school passed away the past 2 weeks ago. His funeral was last week. And we prayed he had cancer, and we prayed for healing. And it didn't come the way we thought it would. But what I would say is I saw God showing off through his wife. I saw the peace that goes beyond all understanding with her. Yes, she's broken. Yes, she's hurting. Yes, she's got a long road ahead. But man, her faith was on display. And that was not her, that was God. And it's incredible. It's incredible to see that. The darkest time of her life, knowing that she has an uphill battle like no other. And she just trusts God through the process. It's God showing off. Again, not the way that I wish he would have. But God's ways are bigger than ours, and he knows. And he's showing off either way. And we've got to get to that place where we can trust God, where we can come before him with these big prayers, faith-filled, specific, passionate prayers, and lay that before him. And have confidence that our good God is going to take care of that situation or whatever it may be. I think a great example of this is a story that I heard and read about Martin Luther, who Martin Luther is known as the father of the Reformation. And you see, he had a friend that was basically his assistant, his right-hand man in the Reformation. His name was Friedrich Myconius. And it was, like I said, it was his assistant, right-hand man. And what happened, though, was he got incredibly sick. In about 1540, he was incredibly sick. He was basically on his deathbed. And so he wrote Luther this, basically like this farewell letter, just, you know, saying his goodbyes. I mean, he was expected to pass away like within days. I mean, that's how sick this man was. And instead of Luther kind of saying this, you know, this safe little prayer, you know, try to be comforting, you know, may the Lord be with you in these final days and with your family, you know, in your final hours, you know, may you have peace. Man, he wasn't having that. He wasn't. He prayed a huge, specific, bold, faith-filled prayer for his friend. And he took it even one step further, and he actually wrote the words down in a letter and sent it back to him. And it said this. I'm going to read some of what this letter said. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, I command thee in the name of God to live. I mean, think about it. Hear that. I command thee in the name of God to live, because I still have need for thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this is my praying, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. I command thee in the name of God to live. The Lord will never let me hear that you are dead. That's a powerful prayer. That's faith. That's confidence. It's incredible. If that's not a faithful prayer, I don't know what is. And what's even more incredible is what happened. And by the time that Myconius got this letter, he actually was so sick that at this point he couldn't even speak. But yet, he completely recovered. He completely recovered. He lived for 6 more years, and he actually survived Luther by 2 months. I mean, that's incredible. It's a miracle. That's how the specific of a response was to a very faith-filled, specific prayer by a man who had the courage and the faith enough to pray a huge prayer. I mean, that's how God works. When we pray believing that all things are possible with God, all things are possible. We just have to believe it, not just say it, not just rattle that off because we've heard it and we know that's what we're supposed to say, but I'm talking heartfelt belief. Believe that all things are possible with God. We know that his ways are bigger than ours and that he's going to move and that he's going to respond in a beautiful way to that big, specific, faith-filled prayer. And throughout this series, like I said, we're going to learn to pray this way. We want to increase our prayer life, increase our communication with God, right? We want to tap into the power of God. So what we're talking specifically about today is the power of God. And to assist us with this, like I said, we're going to look at 4 different texts of Scripture in the New Testament that were written by Paul. And I know we've said this before, but in case you're not aware, Paul used to be known by Saul. And this was a guy that was originally not a good dude. This was a guy that was out there persecuting Christians left and right. He hated Christians. He even was killing Christians. That was his life mission, was to destroy the church originally, to stop it from spreading, for anyone who followed Christ to be put out. But on his way to Damascus, right, while he was going down the road, he had an encounter with God. He encountered the love, the grace, and the mercy of our good God, and he was never the same. He was radically transformed. And then so what he ended up doing is that he would go and he would actually start churches. All right, he would start them, he'd build them up, get them going, and then he would leave. And then he would start more churches. And then as needed, what he would do is he would write letters back to them. Right, he would write these letters. And that's what we're going to look at today. He actually penned the majority of the New Testament. And that's what we're going to look at over this entire series as the scripture that are known as the Pauline epistles or the letters of Paul. And that's what we're going to look at. And when we're reading these prayers and that's contained within these letters, we're going to see that he kind of prayed the same thing over and over. We see a pattern that's developed. He would say, like, I pray, and then he would say what he's praying for, and then he would say, so that. And we see that in all of these scriptures that we're going to cover in this series. So he'd say, I pray for blank, he'd fill in what he was praying for, so that, and then he would give the reason why he was praying. And we can use that to learn. And to know how to pray, to know how to petition God and to come before him and to see the power of prayer. And that's one of the first things that we see in the scripture that we're going to look at today is the power of God, the strength that we have through God. And that's going to help us learn to pray with intention and purpose, to pray those big and specific prayers. So like I said, the first scripture we're going to look at in this first week is Ephesians chapter 3. And we see that Paul wrote this actually in around 60 AD, and he was in a Roman prison when he wrote it, and he was writing back to the church in Ephesus. And he stated this, Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start off by looking at verse 14 and 15. He said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So he says, for this reason, I kneel. Okay, so what's important to know here is that it doesn't really matter what position or posture you're in when you pray. What's important is that you pray. So first and foremost, know that, okay? I mean, you can pray sitting. You can pray walking down the street. You can pray while laying down, by standing up. You can pray in the shower. You can pray while kneeling. You could pray anywhere, any point in time. But what I would encourage you to do is from time to time, vary your posture. Vary your position when you pray. This is something that I've started doing probably about 5 or 6 years ago, like intentionally doing, as opposed to doing out of shame or, you know, in religion or whatever. You know, when I was a kid growing up, if I went down forward during the service, I know I'm supposed to kneel down in the front pew, you know, because that's just what you're supposed to do. But probably, like I said, 5 or 6 years ago, I started very intentionally paying attention to my posture at different times when I prayed. And really based on my intent or my heart or the need of the prayer, like what I was coming before God. So, for example, when I kneel before God and pray, it's an act of me humbling myself before God. It's me coming to him and acknowledging my weakness and my inability really to do anything outside of him. It's me surrendering to his lordship, to his love and his mercy and his grace, acknowledging that he is worthy of those all praise and submitting myself to him, humbling myself before him. That's what that means when I do that. And again, what's important is that you're praying, right? That you have a prayer life, but there's something powerful about that. There's something important when you come to him in that manner. And so I just encourage you to think about that. I mean, we see that in scripture. That's not saying that that's how you have to do it, but I encourage you to try that. Try out, maybe do that this week, some different postures when you pray. He says that he kneels before the Father. Verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches. He's saying here that he's recognizing that God has made every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms available to his children. Out of his glorious riches. Through him, all things are possible. We are blessed beyond belief. Through his glorious riches, we can come before him. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this. He said, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches. We serve an infinitely, spiritually rich God, right? I mean, he's spiritually rich. And yet so many of us are living like spiritually impoverished children. I mean, he has the power and that we can access. He has the riches. Not material riches, the spiritual riches. Yet we choose to live as impoverished children. Verse 16, Paul says, again, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Why? Here it comes. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Don't miss that. I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. See, this is that first time we kind of see that pattern, right? He's praying for something specific, and then he goes into the so that, right? He says, I pray that he may strengthen you with power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Right? He's going to give us power. He's praying for, that's what he's praying for, that he may strengthen you with power. Strengthening us with power, not weakness. Strengthening us with power. And we're talking about human power, but this is a miraculous power of God, right? This is a supernatural power. And he's praying that they would have strength through the power of God. And see, that power of God is available to us. 100%. It's already there. It's available. So we're just not tapping into it oftentimes. We just don't tap into it. It's right there, right? It's like if you have need to fix something in your house or in your car or whatever, and you have the tool to do it. But you just don't want to use that tool. You want to use this tool. And so you're trying to do something else when in reality, the answer is just right there. You just have to use it. He's given us that power. It's right there. It's available to each and every one of you. We just have to tap into it. We have to go from that head knowledge to the heart knowledge and actually press play. Have faith and belief. Paul says, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It continues, verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, being rooted and established in God's love, may have power. There it is again. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Rooted in the love of God. So that we may have power together to grasp the love of God, to understand it, to receive it, to feel it. I mean, how many of you all have ever looked on at somebody else that's a Christ follower and thought, man, like, man, they just seem to have something that I don't have spiritually, right? I mean, why don't I have that peace that they have, right? Why don't I seem to have that assurance and that confidence and that belief that they have? Why do I wrestle with doubt? Why they're so sure? Why do they seem to have something spiritually that I don't have? Right? How many of y'all have been there before? I have. Right. We struggle with that from time to time. And the answer might be because they have something that you don't have. Right? I mean, that could be the case. They have all that God has available for them. Those riches and those blessings spiritually, right? And they have that because they have a supernatural understanding of the love of God. And what I mean by that is that they understand God's love in a way that's life-changing. See, we can talk about God's love, but there's no natural way to understand that. You can't describe it. It's something that you have to experience. It's something supernatural that God allows you to grasp. And once you do, once he reveals that to you, man, it's a game changer. It's like your eyes are open and you see things differently. And that's why Paul says that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to fully grasp the love of Christ. That through the power of God, that you'll be able to understand his love in such a way that it's going to transform your life completely. Radical transformation. And it has to be a supernatural experience. It's not something that we can naturally just come up with. Our minds aren't capable of understanding that or describing that. It's something that he does. It's a work that he does within us. And that's why one of the most important prayers that you could ever pray for your children or for your spouse or for your friends or for your church and the people around you is that God would give them the power to understand how much he loves them. See, when you 100% understand how much God loves you, you are truly different. The way you view yourself, the way you view others is different. When you truly grasp and understand how much he loves you. Honestly, I don't think we can know 100% how much he loves us, but he can let us know those things. That's that supernatural knowledge, because his love for us is radical, right? It's life-changing. It's beautiful. It doesn't make sense. There's no reason that he should love me the way that he does. There's just no reason for it. But man, I'm thankful for it. And because of that, I'm different. I'm not the same person. Once we understand his love, we're no longer living for the approval of other people, but we're living from his approval. We don't have to try to impress this person. We don't have to try to do that. I mean, think about that for your kids, right? For your teenagers, if you have them. If they could understand how much God loved them, and they would view themselves through God's eyes and know that he already approves of them, they're not out there trying to gain the approval of everybody else. That's incredible to have during your middle school and high school years, right? So that's why that prayer is so powerful for your kids or for your spouse or for anybody, for all of us, to be able to understand how much he loves us so that we can stand strong from the approval of God. understanding that there's nothing that we can do to make God love us more than he does right now. And understanding that there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. Thank you, Jesus. Because if that was the case, I'd be in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. But he loves you. His love is incredible. See, and I've said this before, this is one of my favorite, phrases or statements. I don't know how you would put it, but when it comes to understanding God's love is that, and understanding who he is that love is not what God does, but it's who he is. Like, that is a statement that has rocked me to my core and helped me to rethink a lot of things. I mean, just think about that. Love isn't what he does. It's just who he is. That's who he is. He doesn't love me because of what I do or don't do. He loves me because of who he is. And that's incredible. And once we can grasp the love of God, and like I said, it's a game changer. And God gives you that power. He gives you that power, that supernatural understanding to get that, to embrace that, to claim that. And see, when you start to get that, you no longer view yourself as just a Christ follower or a Christian or someone that goes to church or you just claim that on Sunday, but you identify yourself with Christ because of how much he loves you. It's who you are through him. And it becomes truly who you are, not just a label. Once you understand how much he loves you. So that when the tough news comes, like my friend, you know, who passed away, when his wife got that news, she knew how much God loved her and loved him. And she had peace. And she couldn't explain it. Not a chance. She couldn't explain it. But she had that peace that went beyond all understanding because of the fact that she understood how much God loved her despite the terrible circumstances. See, when someone wrongs you, but you understand who you are in Christ and how much he loves you, when they hurt you or wrong you, you're able to forgive them. And that's not easy. But because of God and who he is and how much he loves you, you're able to do that. And then you're able to start to get healing from that hurt. He gives you direction and clarity in your life when you need it. When you understand how much he loves you. And it's because you're fully experiencing the power and the love of God. And it's right there waiting for you. We just gotta tap into it. We just gotta grasp it. We have to take hold of it. And I pray this morning that you'll have that power, that supernatural understanding of how much God loves you. And as a result, your life will be different. Right? That you'll never be the same, that you'll walk out of here today different. That you'll learn to be content in everything, in any and all situations, because of how much God loves you. That you'll be able to have peace, that you'll be able to radiate love, his love, to those that are unlovable. There's plenty of them out there. Sometimes you're the unlovable, sometimes I'm the unlovable, right? But we'll be able to radiate his love because of who he is and because of the fact that he is love. Because of his love, your mind will be renewed. It'll be renewed and you'll be able to focus and think on things that glorify him. You'll receive healing from those former feelings of loneliness and hurt and fear and doubt and inadequacy and all those things that haunt you and that keep you on the sideline because how much God loves you and because of his power and you have access to that, you can be set free of those things. And we have to tap into that. The same spirit, the same power that rose Christ from the grave lives within you. It dwells within you. We just have to access it. We have to put it into play. We just have to tap into it. But for some reason, we just keep it off to the side. It's powerful. We have access to that, and that's incredible. And see, once we start to live this way, once we start to understand who we are in Christ and understand that we can access that power and we understand how much he loves us through that supernatural revelation, the thing that happens next is that your prayers begin to change. So where it kind of comes back full circle when we're talking about prayers, your prayers begin to change when you know how much he loves you and you know that power that you have access to. That's why Martin Luther was able to say that type of prayer. And that was a bold prayer. But he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that God loved him and that God was love and that he had access to that power. And he didn't take it for granted. And he accessed it. When you know how much God loves you and you embrace that fact that the power lives within you, you don't say safe, small, general prayers. Your prayer life has changed. And you have that confidence and that faith that we talked about and that courage to step out and to say big prayers. You're able to do that. So, for example, you're not just saying like a prayer if you're praying for your kids. You're not saying, God, just keep my kids safe and help them not to make too many stupid decisions, you know, maybe. You know, no, you say big, specific prayers. You're like, God, raise my children up to be leaders. God, may they follow you. May they take their relationship with you seriously. May they not just talk about that relationship, but may they live it out every day with their friends, with their activities, and in their schools. May they be strong leaders. And will you raise them up to be that? May they be fully known and understand how much you love them. May they get that. May you speak that over their life. Be with them as they navigate those waters with that knowledge of your love. And may they do powerful things in your name. You say prayers like that, not just be with my kids, help them not to screw up today and get detention. Your prayer life changes. You're not praying prayers such as, man, just help me, God, help me pay the bills this month. Help me make it through. Help me just slide by. You're not saying those things. You're saying, God, you promised that you would bless our comings and our goings, right? You promised that you would provide for us according to your riches and your glory. You'll meet all of our needs. Man, I've been reminded of this recently by some good people in this church that have been speaking that over me through some conversations that I've been having. See, we don't pray those simple prayers. Help me make it through. No, we say, God, you say this in your word, and I'm claiming that truth because I know you love me, and I have that power through you. You allow me to do that, and I'm going to take hold of that. And as a result, I also know that you're not only going to meet my needs, but you're going to allow me to be generous to others and help other people. You're going to take that step further because that's who you are, because you're love. You pray specific and big prayers. And you begin to truly believe, heart belief, not head knowledge, heart belief that all things are possible with God. All things. There's not a cap on where your prayers can go. It's limitless. Because he's that good and he loves us so much. So let's check out how Paul kind of wraps this thing up in verses 20 and 21. And this is almost kind of like this like closing anthem. He says this in verse 20. He says, now to him, meaning Christ, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So he's acknowledging that God can do more than we could ever hope or dream, right? That he can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to his power. Again, there's that power that is at work within us. Not only is that there's power, but it's working within us. That he works in and through us, that we're never alone, that his power is perfected in our weakness. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you see the faith in that prayer? That's not a simple, small prayer. That's not be with us today. Help us through this next week, this next month. No, he's saying for generations to come, may it be different. For generations, it's a big prayer. And he says that because he understands that our God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we could ever dream, hope, or imagine. That's how powerful he is, and that's how good he is. That's the kind of prayer life you can have when you tap into God's love and you understand who he is and you tap into his power. That's the kind of prayer life. Someone who truly understands that and takes hold of that and embraces that, that's their prayers. That's how they pray. That's how they approach God, with humility, but also through his strength and through his promises that he's given us, with that confidence and boldness, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. So the question is, will you tap into that power? Will you tap into that power? Will you embrace your role as a child of God and access the power that he provides for you, that he lays out there for you? Will you follow Paul's lead in accessing this power that's rooted in his love, right? Will you follow those footsteps and those big prayers, those specific prayers in your life? Right? Will you pray and believe in such a way that it requires God to show up and to do something incredible, to do the impossible? I mean, think about it. When's the last time that you said a prayer and spoke something to God that required a miracle and you really believed that it was going to take place? When's the last time that you've prayed that big? That's the kind of faith, the kind of prayers that we need to be speaking to God. That's the relationship that we should have with him. And then when he does those things and they come to be, he receives all praise and glory. Nothing of ourselves, but all to him. And just as Paul prayed, today I pray that out of the glorious riches that he may strengthen each of you with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So he may dwell in your hearts. That's how good our God is, and that's how powerful he is, and how loving he is, and we have to embrace that. And we press play on that in our prayer lives, and I promise you when that happens, man, things are never going to be the same. They're never going to be the same when you embrace that, that strength and that love of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for how good you are. Lord, for the fact that we can come before you. Lord, I know that's something that I take for granted far too often. And the fact that even now that I can speak your name and come before your throne, God. I'm so thankful for that. God, I'm thankful that you have given us that power. I'm so thankful that you love us so much. That you are love. Despite what we do, you love us, God. I'm so thankful for that. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today, and all this sounds great, it's all well and good, but you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've been coming to church for a while, or off and on, or maybe this is your first time out, but you have never stepped over that line of faith of accepting Christ as your Savior. You've never entered into that initial relationship with him. And if that's you today, and God is leading you to that, man, today is the day. Don't put it off. If he is speaking to you, respond. Man, he loves you. He is love. I don't care what other Christians may have said or done to you. I'm sorry if you've been offended by people in the church that have said and done hateful things to you. That's not of Jesus, because God is love. That's who he is. That's what he's about. I mean, he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to take your place, to make a way for you to be made right before him, who shed his blood that is sufficient for the forgiveness of all sin. And by all, he means all. That's how much he loved you. And if you're ready to step over that line of faith today, Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing. Again, not a head knowledge, but heart. It's from the heart. So if that's you today, or if you're struggling with that or wrestling with that, or if you don't know where you stand, just give that up to him. Lay that down before him today. And just call on his name. Confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect and that you're in need of a Savior. and that you believe that he is the Savior. He's the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, who died and rose again for you. However he leads you, and that you pray that, you speak that to him from your heart. You believe that he is that person, that he is who he says he is. And then you just give your life to him. And I promise you, you'll never regret it. Scripture says once you come into that relationship with him, you are immediately a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things are new. You are a new creation once you come to the Father for the first time. And you remain that because he's constantly doing a work in your life because he is love. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, but man, you know the importance of prayer, but your prayer life is terrible. It's tanking. For whatever reason. There's so many reasons. I think about the times in my life when my prayer life has been the worst, and some of the times it's because I'm ashamed of who I've become. Or because of the fact that I haven't prayed in so long that I almost don't even want to go to God because I'm embarrassed. Again, ashamed. But man, he's there with arms wide open saying, come on. I love you. I just want to be in a relationship with you. Press play and tap into that power, into that love. It's a game changer. It'll lead you to praying those big prayers, those scary prayers. They're not easy. But man, they're so worth it. Praying those big prayers and specific prayers and let him radically change your life. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning, God, that you would speak truth to them, God, that you would speak life over them. Whatever it is, God, that each person needs to hear, God, we know that you can speak that to them, God, and I ask that they would be receptive of that. God, speak to me as well. God, may we as a church be sensitive to your calling and to your leading, God, and may we move in the direction that you lead us, make the decisions that we need to make, right the wrongs that we need to right, God. God, may our hearts be sensitive to that. God, may we pray bold and specific prayers as individuals and as a church. May we trust you and have faith and belief and confidence, God, that you are who you say you are, and that is love. And that we have power through you, God. And that love and that power works in and through us, God. And may we pray with that boldness and that confidence, God. God, speak truth to each person in here, Lord. May you just, God, just let them hear what it is that they need. God, I ask you that today, this morning, God, that you would speak what each person here needs to hear. God, and may they be receptive to respond. Make those decisions in their life, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.